Hello and welcome to the Eighth Note. I am Gitti Rappaport and I'm here with my brother, Rabbi Reuven Wolf from Mayan Yisrael. And we will be learning the Dvar Malchus from the Rebbe weekly. We're so glad you joined us and we hope you'll continue to join us weekly. Welcome.
So here's our episode one, which is going to be the first talk, Parshas Tazria Metzora, which officially is called the Dvar Malchus Sichas. And Gitti, we've been talking about this. Gitti is my younger sister. We've been interacting with Chassidus since we were both teenagers. And I made my way to the world of Chassidus, attracted by, blew my mind away by opening up a new world for me that I discovered when I was about 17 years old. My younger sister, Gitti, you as saw that I was on a high from something and was very inquisitive, very intrigued by what that was. We started conversations, and Gitti, you followed me in to the world of Chassidus as well, and now it's a good opportunity to like converge and share some incredible teachings that I believe are, not I believe, which are just absolutely crucial for our generation and for our times in preparing ourselves and opening ourselves up to the times of Geula, the times of Mashiach.
Okay, so let's start a little bit with, how did the Dvar Malchus come about? How did these group of sichas come about? What was going on during that time that this is what the Rebbe taught at this time?
In 1990, the Rebbe declared that the world has arrived to the time of Mashiach. And that fits actually the cosmic clock, because 1990 was the year Tavshin Nun, which means 5,750, which is 750 years after the year 5,000. Now, if you take a 1,000 years, which is a day in Hashem's world, we know for Hashem, 1,000 years is a day, as it says, and from the year 5,000 to the year 6,000 corresponds to the Friday of creation. Mashiach is an entity that belongs on Friday. A Mashiach comes to prepare the world, as the Zohar explains, to enter into Shabbos. All of our work that we do collectively from Adam HaRishon until the end of time, until the Geula really, is all preparing the world for Shabbos. But there is that amount of that we're able to do. And then there is the last finishing touches that we need super powerful avoda and an incredible guiding light. And we have to be also on a very, very high level and have the Beis Hamikdash and have mitzvahs being done on the highest, most potent level to be able to finalize the preparations for Shabbos and bring the world into the seventh millennium, which means that Mashiach's primary zman and time is on Friday. In Friday itself, the time really, as we know every Shabbos, our primary preparation for Shabbos starts Friday midday at Chatzos. Many halachis apply, laws of preparation for Shabbos apply at midday. Oh, 5750, Tavshin Nun, 1990, we hit that mark. It became Friday midday. And then the Rebbe declared that we basically arrived at the time of the Geula. He named that year Tiashnas Nisim. This is a year of miracles. And the following year, Tavshin Nun Aleph, 5751, was Tiashnas Arenu Nifla'is. I will show you wonders. And at that time, the Rebbe pointed that the events, the incredible shifts that were taking place in the world during that time are all not just an indicator that, you know, Geula is coming, but we are watching a shift taking place because we have arrived in Mashiach's times. In other words, whatever was taking place in the world, this is the Geula unfolding from on a very, very deep level, fundamentally within creation. And those 2 years, Tavshin Nun and Tavshin Nun Aleph, 1990 and 1991, were a time of a tremendous global shift, most notably the last and final prison that the Jewish people were in, where millions of Jews were held in a real exile, in a real gullus, not allowing Torah and mitzvahs, which was, when I was growing up, you were growing up, it was impossible to conceive that they will ever fall. The Soviet Union was the Iron Curtain. We remember Mordechai Ben David's song, Let My People Go, with that image of that girl with the tear and that break in that iron curtain. I'll never forget that, right? That was so powerful. And we wouldn't think it would fall. And then overnight, the whole thing came collapsing without a gunshot. That was like, that was like so unbelievable.
It wasn't like within the natural order of things. Nobody expected communism to fall like that.
That's right. It was out of this. Yeah. The other thing that happened in 1991 that the Rebbe did not talk about, but it's obvious, was the rollout of the World Wide Web. So what happened really is that the entire world became one, the information age started, which is all deeply connected to the time of the age of knowledge, the age of enlightenment, which is Mashiach's age. Obviously, the enlightenment we're talking about is holy enlightenment, but the first need to have a keli, the vessel where the world becomes a keli for that knowledge to flow. And also, oneness is an indication of godliness, because Hashem is Hashem Achad. So when you have an entity that unifies literally all 8 billion people on the planet, have something they can plug into and communicate with each other, that is a unity that comes in the world, which is all connected to Mashiach. Yeah. So these were certain things that were indicating and showing that this is mamish the time. Now, there was a moment of the Iraq war, where similar to what's going on right now, where nations got together to take down a threat to Israel. And the miracles that we saw at that time, that literally 39 scuds fell on Israel and people walked out safe. And the Rebbe says that is like absolutely spectacular Mashiach miracles. And it seems like the month of Nisan, which happened in the year 5791, was a month of very high anticipation that the Geula would actually happen and Mashiach would finally come. As the month of Nisan came to a conclusion, 2 days before the month of Nisan concluded, the Rebbe gave an earth-shattering talk on the 28th of Nisan. Very, 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 everybody speaks about that every year in Lubavitch. The famous sicha where the Rebbe said, Tut alts vasir kent. I did everything. Now I'm giving it over to you. People think Chas v'Shalom, the Rebbe was resigning. The Rebbe wasn't resigning. The Rebbe was saying, now to bring the Geula, I am empowering you with tremendous empowerment that you guys have to take control and you're going to do it. And you're going to do it with the guidance that I'm going to guide you. Now, the very proof that those who read it, like the Rebbe resigning, are incorrect was because of what followed that talk. Instead of the Rebbe locking himself in a room, there were tzaddikim that got, for whatever reason, frustrated, I'm not going to name now, who closed themselves off from the masses and didn't see anybody. The Rebbe could have said, guys, chas v'shalom. The Rebbe didn't do that. Not only that, he engaged and gave us a series of talks that is like a Shulchan Aruch. It's like the code of law for the Geula, step by step by step, week by week, for close to a year, beginning on Vav Iyar, concluding on Chav Zayin Adar. So you're talking about 10 months.
And
the Rebbe, week after week of the week, was giving us mind-blowing sichas, explaining and sharing with us the Geula unfolding. What does it mean? What does it mean both cosmically? And what does it mean in each and every one of us? What is our avoda to greet Mashiach, to live Geula, and to activate Geula in the world? He really handed us a key, the key to redemption. And he says, I'm giving it over to you in your hand. Like the famous story where the Rebbe gives the match, right? The famous story where the Rebbe said, I'm not going to light your candle, but I gave you the match. You have to light it yourself. That's always the Rebbe's Shita. That's really the way of Chabad.
Right.
And that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate.
The long, short way.
Yeah. It's the ultimate teacher and educator. Yeah.
Right. So why the eighth note?
Because you came up with that name today.
I like the way it sounded. It's quite a nice ring. But it really, it's all connected.
The reason is, number one, the eighth note represents music, and Geula's music. Geula is, you know, we just started saying the kapitel. The Rebbe has a new kapitel. And for those who don't know, it's a minhag to say every day the chapter of Tehillim that corresponds to your age. It's a minhag from the Baal Shem Tov. And Chassidim also say the Rebbe's kapitel. So we started the Rebbe's kapitel, which is 124, Kuf Chav Dalid. We also started, those who say also the Rebbetzin's kapitel, which is one ahead, which is Kuf Chav. No, I'm sorry, for the Rebbe we started Kuf Chav Hei. For the Rebbetzin we started Kuf Chav Vav, 126. And the Rebbetzin's kapitel that we started is Oz Yamal Yischaik Pino. Then our mouths will be filled with laughter. V'noida l'chashir chadash. Mashiach's coming is going to be just an incredible outburst of singing and song. However, it's going to be a song like we've never sung before. And the reason for that is because we're singing to the energy flow, to the godly flow, to the outburst of light and godliness that is flowing within us. And the godliness that is going to be revealed at the time of Mashiach is a transcendental godliness that the world has never experienced yet. A light that's utterly beyond nature and beyond the world. Because what's Mashiach? Mashiach is the marriage between the creation and the creator. So therefore, within the creation, which is built on a system of seven, will be revealed the eighth dimension. Whenever Hashem comes into this world, it's related to number eight. Like Vayhi Bayom HaShmini that we just read last week, is when the Mishkan, setting it up and taking it down, the permanent dwelling of Hashem was on the eighth day. And also, for instance, the giving of the Torah comes after 7 weeks. The first day of the eighth week, the 50th day, is really the eighth week. Right. Every time there is some kind of a transcendental light and revelation, it is through number eight. And that's why the eighth note is very appropriate for these talks, because these talks are enabling us, number one, to understand what's going on, as we will talk in this introductory class, understand what's happening, because the Rebbe is not talking about something that we can make happen. He's talking about a reality that exists already, and he's speaking to us about us opening ourselves up and enabling this to enter into our consciousness so that we can become really fully integrated into our lives. Yes. Geula can become integrated into our mind, into our consciousness, into our heart, into our soul, and into our experience. So it's bringing down number eight and making it be a song for us that we can sing to the beat and to the tune of the eighth note.
Okay. So this week is Parshas Tezriah Metzairah. So this was, we had this sicha where the Rebbe said, I'm giving it up to you and I'm going to show you. And then we went into Tezriah Metzairah, or there was Shmi.
That sicha, that talk was given on a Thursday night. And that talk was left everybody literally shocked and in awe. No one knew even what to do. Chabad was shooken to the core because the Rebbe did speak in a very, very, in a very tense way. And there was expressions over there that were very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The Rebbe even said, everything I did was lehevel of a larik, was like in vain. I didn't accomplish. So there was harsh words. It was a real shock. That Shabbos, the next Shabbos was Parsha Shmini, and there was a Fabringen, and there was a talk. But that talk was still like kind of in between. There wasn't yet so much direct instructions. A week later, Parshas Tezriah Metzairah, the Rebbe kind of opens up the talk immediately with Behemshech, in continuation, Lahamedubur Umudgish Beyoser, to what was spoken about and what was emphasized very much. Bizmana achrein mamish, literally in the last time, al devar atzairich bepulase shakol echad vechad misrael, on the need of the pu'ula, of the actions of every single person, lases kol atalu boy, that everybody has to do what is dependent on them, lahavias mashiach tzedkeinu bepoel mamish, to bring mashiach in the literal, take off a miyad mamish. You got to bring mashiach now, and how is everybody going to do what they need to do? And no more, it's not, Rebbe is saying, kind of, it's not, you can't rely on me, you can't rely on the big tzaddik or big tzaddikim in the generations. This becomes the task of every single person. So he began this talk in continuation and saying, okay, I am now going to give you guidance. And it's interesting in the note, in the footnote, when he says in continuation, what does he mean? He says in the footnote which talk he's referring to. He's referring to the 28th of Nisan.
Yes.
Which means the talk that he gave. And what's interesting is what he says right at the beginning is, and it's the only time in the Rebbe's talks where the Rebbe points to a time that passed and said that that time was the end of the Ketzim. As we passed the Ketz of Mashiach. That's it. Kalup Kipshutei Mamish. And he picks, and he doesn't just say it in general, he picks a date. He says the end of the month of Nisan finished the Ketz. So what does a Ketz mean? A Ketz means that the Mashiach, like, there's work to do and we need to get something done, and it's going to take so much and so much time until we get it done, and that's what the Ketz is. It's estimating the amount of time that's needed to, that's how the Rebbe explains what a Ketz is in other sichas. So it's estimating the time of what it takes to get the work done, and then the work gets done, and then the Geula is here. And the Rebbe says we passed away the last Ketz. And as you're going to see as we're going to discuss in all these discussions, we see that from the Rebbe's perspective, we taka did the avoda. We did the avoda to bring Mashiach. Now the avoda is only, what is up to us is to have the avoda to be makabel this, to receive it, to internalize it, to bring it, to breathe it in, to take it in and to make it part of our living. And as we bring this as galus of Mashiach in the world, in ourselves, everywhere inside of us, this affects the entire world for this intense energy and this intense light to settle in. And we have Mashiach's full revelation of coming.
I think that, I mean, I'm just beginning to learn this and beginning to delve into it. But from what I understand, there's a lot of direction in how to live in a very unconstricted life. Like to really, what does it mean to live Geula? That there are, when I'm in Galus, I'm in Galus. I'm not unbound. I'm bound. Like I'm stuck. And here I'm able to tap into this idea of Geula where within myself I could really tap into this energy and the mindset of not being constricted and not being, you know, bound up, being untethered. Because we have this within ourselves where we have this infinite energy, we have this infinite light, but we're in a body that constricts us, and where we have, you know, personality traits and we have things that really constrict us. But when we tap into Geula, we're able to harness that energy and use it even though we're still in our bodies, but we can tap into that energy that's almost like beyond us, but even though we're still here.
Not even though, it's actually much deeper because we're in a body. Because we're in a body and because we're in the physical world and because Dafkovi here is where the ultimate limitlessness unlocks that which is not even... That which is not even unlocked in the more expansive worlds of the spiritual realms above, because even over there, there are certain definitions and limitations, the ultimate truth of the essence of the unlimited can only be unlocked in the physical body. And as we read in these talks, we find out that, you know, how do we live this daily in daily living? So the primary and incredible foundation of all the talks that are to follow is going to be the first three talks primarily. And in these first three talks, the Rebbe is going to develops the theme, that very powerful theme, that Mashiach is not a new world that we have to transition to a new reality. Neither is it that about the Mashiach era. Mashiach era is not like the old world ended and a new world begins. And it's not about ourselves. The Golos Yid and the Geula Yid is the same Yid. It's the same person. It's not a new person. Even though it does say, like in regarding the Geula, V'nasati lechem leiv chadesh, I will give you a new heart. But it doesn't mean literally we get a new heart, which means you don't recognize your old self. The whole Geula is a process where the same human being who was in exile now finds himself in the Geula. And how does he find himself in the Geula? By unlocking his or herself to their deeper reality that always was inside of them, but it was blocked. And now it's being unlocked. So therefore, you're not running away from yourself or metamorphosizing in a new self. You're just journeying into yourself, into a much deeper, truer, more essential state of being. And that's regarding ourselves, regarding the world around us. Like, for instance, the Rebbe is going to teach very strongly that everything that belongs to us in our Golos world comes along with us into Geula. You don't leave anything behind. Like, the Rebbe negates the concept. It's very powerful. The Rebbe negates the concept of what all the people have always thought. This has always been, when we spoke to people about Mashiach coming, those who had the highest and most intense emuna that Mashiach is coming, what is the imagery we have? A person who sleeps with his suitcase and Shabbos clothing ready by his bed because he has all of his stuff packed and ready to run to Yerushalayim. Right? That's the image.
Right. Yeah.
You have your suitcase set. But that's contrary to what the Rebbe is teaching. A suitcase means you're leaving everything that once belonged to you behind. And you're running and you're like escaping into Geula.
Yeah, right.
But that's not it, the Rebbe says. You're lifting up your entire existence. Everything that was once yours, everything that belongs to you, everything that's good is going to be lifted into Mashiach's reality. A person doesn't lose anything because Mashiach is really unlocking the deeper reality of what is right now. It's not a new reality. It's only a discovery of what is. And the same is also true regarding Mashiach himself. Mashiach himself is not a figure that the Jewish people only get to know after the Geula. Mashiach himself is the person that people cried upon and ached their pains and lived. And because it says about Mashiach, that's one of the main themes of this sicha, is that Mashiach is the leper, the chivra de Bei Rebbe. He is the one who sits with the Jewish people during the time of exile. He sits by the gates of Rome. Gates of Rome represent where the exile is intense. And he is present with the Jewish people in the Golos, aches their aches and pains their pains and wipes their tears and cries with them. And he himself is the one that's the Goel, that's the Redeemer. So everything is not a new reality. It's the same reality, but whatever was opens up. And the Rebbe bases it on the idea. And this is going to be mainly the theme on the next talks, the talks of Parshas at Achrei Mos Kedoshim and Parshas Emor, where he's really going to delve into the idea that Goyla and Geula is the same word. It's just that Geula has an Aleph, and Aleph is Alufa Shel Olam, means Hashem. But in this talk, the first talk, Parshas Tazria Metzora, the Rebbe says, builds on the concept that Mashiach is a healed tzaras.
Right.
Mashiach is called a Metzora, which was shocking, because Metzora is a
dark... This is a very interesting concept. Like when I saw this, I was hoping you would expound on this. So
yes.
this idea that the tzaras itself, right? So in a way, you know, I think the way that I learned and that I understood before I learned Chassidus was like the Golus was like a cleansing process, or the Golus was almost like a punishment, right? And over here, when you're learning this, I hope you'll explain it. It's really, this is what was needed. This is the process. This is what, if we don't have this, we can't get into the Geula. So.
Yes. So one of the Rebbe points out when he talks about the Metzora, because the Chiddush is, how can you call Mashiach a Metzora? And even if you're going to say that one of the things about Mashiach is, which then the Navi tells us already, the Mashiach suffers. So how do we always understand it? The Jewish people, Chas v'Shalom, are sinful. And, they've done Saveris. And as a result of that, and they can't handle the cleansing that they need to have. With all the pain and suffering that we've been through, it's not we can handle. So we need someone to take the brunt of it. And Mashiach comes and he kind of suffers as the Pasuk says, Achon Choleinu Hu Nasa. He carries our illnesses and our sin. So that's why he's in pain, because it's like,
I don't know if I could say this, but I feel like the Christians really took this.
Yes, they really took this concept, but it is, they took everything from us. So the concept is a Navi. It's a Pasuk. So, but the point of here it is, there's what they're saying is that a human is essentially flawed. And even when we translate that not in the Christian world, we're not going to say it, but there is a lot of that kind of, you know, lingering and guilt amongst, you know, that we sin so much, and there's a lot to support that. It's not, we're not saying that in out of nowhere. There's a lot of, if from the perspective of nigla the Torah, from the perspective without Chassidus, when you're not looking at it from the Shmasa Dairaisa, but you're looking at it from the body of Torah, there is a lot to kind of support something like that.
So officially, this is what we understand, but really...
And that's why, so the Rebbe asked the question, so even if we're going to say that Mashiach has to endure the pain and the suffering, and before he reveals himself, he's inflicted, but still, would we say that that is his primary name? That's his main chiddush? That's before he can come. He needs to do, it's like, any athlete who wins, the highest level of whatever, of contest, whether it's the Olympics or whatever it is, the champion. You know, when they hurt themselves and they had a fall and they broke their hand and they broke their leg, and although that's part of their story and we don't want to ignore the story, and but that's not their name. Their name is that they're the champion, that they're the Olympic gold medalist, or they're whatever. This is there's a superstar. Who's Mashiach? Who's the Goel? That he should be named the Metzora. They say, the Gemara say, what's his name? And the Gemara gives various different answers. And one of the answers is that he's called the Metzora. That, the Rebbe says, doesn't make any sense. But based on the deeper understanding, it does make sense. And it's an incredible understanding that he says, an incredible enlightenment that he says. And he says like this, that the tsaras is a very interesting type of a ailment. The Torah, this is what he brings from the Alter Rebbe, that the Torah refers to the metzora as Adam kiya ba'or besarai. A person, you know, a human has many different names. The highest name, the biggest compliment you can give to a person is call them an Adam. An Adam is the highest, most perfect, perfect human being. There's Adam Enosh Ish. So the question is, if someone gets tsaras, and we know tsaras comes because of Lashon Hara and who knows what, and arrogance and whatever, why would you refer to this individual Adam? You have very few times in the Torah where the Torah gives the human being the name Adam. Most of the time it's Ish. And especially when you're dealing with a someone who's a Metzora, why give him the compliment, which is the worst type of tumah, the worst impurity? You have to kick the person out, ostracize the person, and be kept out of the machna, and he has to call to everybody, tameh, tameh, to announce that he's impure, that he's defiled. It's like the lowest, it might be kind of the lowest form of impurity. And yet we give the person the name Adam. So the Alter Rebbe explains that really negayim, the nega is really something extremely holy and godly. Only a person who's on the level of Adam gets a nega. And he points out to two very opposite aspects of a tsaras. Number one, the tsaras is a disease, if we might say. It's an illness, or an impurity. That happens, but oyer, it happens only on the skin. That means it's only skin deep. It's not deep. It's not a ailment of the flesh.
That's an internal.
And it's not an internal.
Very superficial.
It's very superficial. It's very on the outside. That's number one. And therefore, he says, we use the term Adam because only someone who is so pure and has uprooted every Yetzirah and every negative trait from their inside, and there is only a very, very, very outer superficial type of a impurity that's only on their very, very, very superficial outside, on the very outside, that's that person can have a nega. He says only an Adam is on that level. An Ish, an Enosh, regular people still have a lot to deal with
internal work
internally.
To do.
But this is a person who's cleansed himself completely. That's number one, he says. Number two, he says, the reason even for that, and the Rebbe, it's very interesting how the Rebbe takes that little teaching of that deep teaching of the Alter Rebbe, and the Rebbe further runs with it, and he says, even that is kiyya. Kiyya means it's not regular. Kiyya means it's a tzakamach thing you say in Yiddish. It's an occurrence that even the fact that he gets this impurity on his outside is mamish an occurrence. It's not something.
It's not something on the regular.
Not something on the regular. And even that, he says, the word nega comes from the word negia. Negia means it's only touching. It's like he brushes with something impure on the outside. But he says, but hold it. How does that fit with the idea that a metzora speaks lashon hara? And, you know, so this is very, very important because the metzora, the one who gets tsaras from Lashon Hara is not a malicious person who speaks Lashon Hara, as we're going to see. The tsaras comes to a very, very, to a Lashon Hara that comes from, not from maliciousness, not from a deep, selfishness or, you know, what then? Okay. And he points to something else about a nega. And the Alter Rebbe says that really a nega is the same letters as the word oneg. Oneg is pleasure. What it means is that a nega happens when a very, very intense light, a person taps a very high, lofty, intense, powerful energy. Dvarim gevoya, the Alter Rebbe says, a nega is a dvar gevoya ma'od. It's coming from gevura. And that's why it's there's an intensity to it, but it's very, very high. And that's why A person is not tame when you have a nega. You only become tame when the Kohen declares the nega. Because the nega itself is something holy. And that's why it only comes to who? To someone who's an Adam.
Right.
And only to someone who's an Adam on a very high level, who suddenly is exposed to something enormously high and godly. Now, but what? How do we then connect it? If something is holy and godly, how is it translating into an affliction? So the way the Alter Rebbe explains it, and the Rebbe in this sicha so beautifully develops it, is what's going on is that suddenly a person is being directed to a much higher godly light. They're being exposed to something way beyond their capacity, something way above. Hashem is leading them to something very high and very intense. But because in Chassidus, we refer to it a lot of times and as Oireis Detoyehu, the lights of Tohu, these incredible lights that cannot settle in vessels. Because of that, what happens is the person doesn't have a grasp in this intense light and in this incredible energy, and it throws them off, it confuses them. And because of that, it might create in the person this very strong dissatisfaction or a very, very strong yearning for something else. And because of that, the person becomes a little bit neglectful about their present day-to-day living because they're experiencing such intensity. So their soul is like kind of experiencing a Chassidus, we call it a ratzai, a racing towards something, and they're not able to settle it down.
They're not grounded.
And therefore, there is this a lack of discipline in their daily living, that they should be super cautious with every word that comes out of their mouth. They're not creating holy kalim because they don't know how to have kalim for this intense light. So because they don't have the kalim, then their energy gets to leak out sometimes into things that are just not that perfect. Not that. It's like when you're very busy with something very intense in your life, that sometimes you can forget to water your flowers. You know, that you would never do that when you're, and it's not because you don't care about your flowers. You love your plant, you love your flowers, but you're like being like you're elsewhere. That kind of is the energy of a nega. And the way you heal a nega is that you have to rise and to that light and draw that light down and figure out how to live with this incredible new light and direct it into vessels. That's why it says by the Mitzora, V'zoistia Toras HaMitzora, B'yom Taharoso, the Torah, because Torah is Kalim, vessels, right. Words of Torah, doing mitzvahs, creating vessels for the intense light.
For the intense light.
Yes. So now let me turn this for a second to right now, for instance. We're watching a generation where there is tremendous amount of restlessness. Kids are all being diagnosed with ADHD. No one has time. No one has the patience to sit and learn. There's something like driving, and I think it's the young, it's the old. Everybody's is in this, there's something, and people deal with it in all kinds of different ways. People are becoming immensely obsessed with, many times with materialism. People are running to have every kind of luxury. People are making like some of this like crazy lavishness. And it's crazy. People are into gourmet, everything super intense of it. People are into vacationing and all kinds of it. And people are into going into journeys. And everybody's trying to figure people. I don't know. You can talk to this much more than I probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the restlessness in a way is not just material things. I think even on a lot of people go on, you know, you see a lot of youth like picking themselves up for like 3 years and traveling the world. almost like to kind of like, it's not just chasing material things, but also chasing even like spirituality, or chasing trying to find themselves, or chasing trying to, you know, taking self-medicating, or trying different forms of therapies
and the ayahuasca, you know, the
right,
all of that. There's like this incredible, and what is that? There's a certain nervousness. There's a certain, like, we never lived in a world where we had kind of such plenty and everything available for us. It's not like, and yet there is this tension. And imagine, based on what the Rebbe is saying, the infinite light that we've been drawing down for thousands of years through every mitzvah is now present in the world and is kind of jamming our souls on a very deep superconscious level, and we don't know what to do with it. And to me, when I look at you,
figure out how to ground it. I think what's happening is that people want to settle in it. They want to feel grounded, and they want to feel settled. And where they are in their daily lives, they're feeling unsettled and they're feeling ungrounded. And so they're looking for ways. I think that's also a big part of this, like, healing culture, is looking for ways to really just settle ourselves, and really just the anti-anxiety and the finding yourself and healing yourself. All of that is coming from this place of feeling very uncomfortable and very, you know, on edge because of this energy.
Oh, so what the Rebbe is identifying, that there is a very strong holy energy that's taking place over here. I remember when I was a Rebbe, I remember giving a for kids, I remember once giving a talk to parents on Chinuch, and saying that when the kids are so, like, they want to hear Mashiach. They're thirsting and longing for Geula, for redemption, because their neshamas are feeling it. And if you're just teaching them the Torah of Golos and not the Torah of Mashiach, they're shutting down from it, because they need a higher Torah. They need a Torah that's going to facilitate this deep energy that they're feeling in their neshama, but that they should be able to articulate that, to be able to put it into a life that facilitates such a vastness, such a godly light. So the Rebbe is saying that really the entire Golos starts, like the whole Golos of thousands of years begins with this new light that starts buzzing Seder Hishtalshelus. The entire order of worlds is being buzzed with a much, much higher, incredible download. And what happens is the energy of God, the energy of Hashem that's within the world, rises up to receive the new light, and it too becomes like kind of neglects. Why is the time of Golos such a time of darkness, the Rebbe says? Because the energy of godliness that's within the world is like l'cha doidi likras kala, the opposite. It's l'cha kala likras doidi. The bride, the Shekhinah, is rising upward to receive this new light, or like it says in Zohar, akutche berichu salik le'ela, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the level called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rises above because of this new light, to fetch this light, to grab this new light. Down here, it becomes dark. And when it becomes dark down here, you start getting what's called yenikas achitzonim. You start getting, things start getting messy in the world, and there is some what we might call leftover energy that's here that is not being directed, because it's been like there's a little bit of an abandonment, and it starts leaking into negative things. So we have to realize, when you see certain behaviors and certain people and certain things, it's not that people are maybe even sinning or doing bad stuff, because there is a deep impurity inside the soul that we've gotten rid of a long time ago. The collective work that we've done throughout the ages of Torah and mitzvahs, and cleansing through all the work that the earlier generations did, we've already cleaned out from the negativity of the Eitz Hadas and all that snake stuff. That's out. So what that's what we're talking about, the tzaras. The tzaras is someone who's finished cleaning out the real darkness that was in our soul from the sin of back then. You'll say, whoa, hold it, but why are people so messed up? Why is there? This is a different story. You have to know how to diagnose it. Here, the problem is not that people have some deep darkness of in their souls, some it's a whole different story. It's because powerful lights are taking a generation, and these energies are not, people are not necessarily figuring out how to live with this, with it,
and
with
they're
this
not
higher
channeling
light.
It. I
and
think
they're
it's not,
not
being
and they
channeled
can't channel it, so they're looking for stuff that might like give them the feeling that they're able to capture that energy. I'm saying it's a misguided obsession becoming.
That's what it means. Is that what it means when it says there's a leakage? Like, because we talk about that a lot in Hasidus, that there's like the energy gets leaked out and it gets sucked into, let's say, like the tumor or the klipa. Does that tie in with the taras also?
Yes. Taras is yenika sachitonim. But the question is, why yenika sachitonim? There is one way there is yenika sachitonim is because a person someone commits treason and is on the other side, you know, and is passing information to Iran, an Israeli chas v'shalom that would be passing information to Iran. That's real treason. That means a very bad person.
And that's malicious.
That's malicious.
Right.
And the Rebbe is saying that, you know, he's speaking about the Jewish people as a whole. That's not where we're at. We're completed that. We've cleansed that. We've purified that. What happens is when there is a new light coming to the world that kind of is so intense and so powerful and so great and so, and which is Mashiach's light. That's the whole point. What made the Golos become a Golos was Geula. But what happens is the Aleph is dangling up here. The godliness of the Geula is standing up here. It's creating a powerful suction that is suctioning up the energies upward. And what remains down here is a vacuum. And sometimes an engagement and an involvement in that which is not so good and not so holy. So I think a little example, something like this can also be from the world of technology. That you can see that there's something that is an enormous, godly, powerful light. But not just in the frum world, but in the world in general, but in the frum world, we speak about it a lot because, you know, we're watching especially outside of the Hasidic world, there is an utter panic of like what's going to be with AI and what's going to be with technology and the internet. You know, the internet was already bugging the world the last 20 years. And now with AI and capacity, I was called to a meeting where the rabbis literally were in panic mode because with all the filters and all the things you were able to protect, but now they're throwing in the towel because they're realizing the world is reaching a point where you can't protect anymore. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching and say, I understand this, but we need all the protection. We definitely, we have to know that this is dangerous stuff because when you have access to everything and there's still some Yetzirah left, of course people can fall into really dark stuff and we need protection. But at the same time, we need to be able to diagnose what's really happening over here. How can a physical tiny little object like a phone contain the infinite information? That's Geula. That's Mashiach. That's Ein Sof that's opening up in front of us. Literally, Ein Sof that's opening up in front of us. So if we begin to appreciate that the Eibishter is now opening up for us, or Ein Sof in the Gashmiyistika world on a chip, you're experiencing infinity and Ein Sof. So maybe if you have a discussion with your children about that, so maybe they have a certain sense of awe and saying, hey, do I want to use something so godly and so holy in such a, misuse it in such a, like I wouldn't take a Sefer Torah to use it. I'm not, you know where I'm going with this.
Right.
This is, so.
Like you said, you have this little device and it has so much power. And the problem is that it's being, because it's not being channeled correctly, that's why it's going into all these other areas that are ungodly and that are unhealthy and that are going to, you know, really, instead of lifting you up and instead of bringing you more knowledge, instead of bringing you more intellect, it's taking you away from yourself. It's taking you away from, you know, from what you really want to connect to. So what you're saying is that this light and this energy, what we need to do, what the Rebbe is, from what I understand, what the Rebbe is showing us in this, from in the Dvar Malchus, is showing us this is how you're going to channel it. This is how you're going to open yourself up to accepting this light and recognizing this light and revealing this light and then being able to channel it. Am I misquoting here?
But yes,
I
think yes.
And channeling it in the right direction because it's so powerful. It kind of like needs like, it's kind of like a dam, right? You know, you have this powerful water, but if you just let it go, it's going to flood everything. So you need to, you know, give it kind of parameters. You need to kind
of. And the main hurrah of how to do that is, number one, it starts with Torah study. And particularly Torah study regarding Mashiach.
Because well, that makes sense because you need to understand what's happening. Because
that's right.
If you just see this, you know, like you said, like AI, if you don't understand it, if you don't understand the capabilities of it, if you don't understand how vast it is, if you don't understand how powerful it is, then you can't harness it because you're dealing with something that is unknowable to you. So you need to first really grasp it. You need to say, hey, this is what it is. This is, or at least try to understand to the best of your abilities, what are we dealing with here?
And to add to that, because it's Torah in general is infinite light packaged in finite concepts. In general, that's
right.
What the Torah is. It's Hashem, as the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, it's Hashem who wants to give himself to us. And the only way we can take him is through the Torah. So when we study the Torah, the Rebbe in this Sith.
And the only way we could understand it is through actual physical things.
Yeah, so the Torah becomes enclosed in physicality.
When we study the Torah in a physical.
Here the Rebbe is guiding us to a particular subject in Torah to learn. To learn Mashiach in Torah. When we learn Mashiach in Torah, we get the tools to be able to harness infinite Mashiach's infinite light in the vessels that are necessary, that could contain it and that can hold it. That's kind of a gist of the Tazria Metzora first talk. Be'ezras Hashem, in our next talks of Parshas Achrei Mos Kedoshim and Emor, we're going to further develop this Be'ezras Hashem, and it becomes more and more accessible and grounded as the sichas continue.
Right. The concept is more in a chachma stage right now, and then you have to flesh it out and bring it down. And okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
This was great.
This was great. I really enjoyed. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And Amir Tashem, we will see you next week on the Eighth Note.
Yes.